from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, July 20th. Coming up, it takes a small piece of land to restore a slice of native Illinois prairie, but it also requires patience. We'll hear from a University of Illinois professor emeritus who created a prairie in his backyard in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker has ended speculation about his political future. The governor says he will seek another term. Sean Crawford reports.
Pritzker has repeatedly deflected questions about running again. Now the first-term governor and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton say they have more to accomplish. The Ticket issued a video on Monday that includes testimonials praising Pritzker's response to the pandemic.
He trusted the science. He did what was necessary in order to keep us safe.
This was a time when we had to get it right, and Governor Pritzker did it for us.
The billionaire Democratic governor will enter the race with a huge fundraising advantage, thanks to his personal wealth. He added $35 million to his campaign fund in March, and there's plenty more where that came from. While the filing period for office is still months away, a registered nurse from Chicago, Beverly Miles, has announced she wants to challenge Pritzker in the primary. At least three Republicans have indicated they'll run next year. I'm Sean Crawford.
School districts are trying to figure out the best approach to having students and staff back in the classroom this fall. Some have already announced masks will be an option. Illinois Governor Pritzker says that call should be made at the local level.
I think that's very important, that kind of local control and decision making, because it is true that different areas of the state suffer differently from COVID-19.
The Metro East near St. Louis has seen cases go up quickly as COVID surges again in Missouri. CDC guidance for schools recommends masks for those who are unvaccinated, but as the governor emphasized, it is not a requirement. An American Legion post in North Champaign was the scene of gun violence earlier this month, with one person killed and four others injured. Last night, members of the community gathered there to ask questions and look for solutions. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
About 35 people met to talk over the problems that led to the deadly shooting at a July 2nd funeral reception at the Legion Post. Some of the discussion focused on trying to reach young people before they turn to violence. Joby Taylor, part of an outreach program run by the Housing Authority of Champaign County, said it's important that youth hear from adults that share their backgrounds and respect them.
Man, I let them be who they be. But I'll give them some game. I'll pick them up and tell them, like, you know, things that they could have did different. Now you got them thinking. Got to get them back to thinking, and that's all I'm saying.
The Champaign County Community Coalition holds these neighborhood safety meetings around town on a recurring basis. Janice Walker with the CU Trauma Resilience Initiative said turnout, especially among men, was higher than usual. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Illinois Congressman Rondi Davis is one of five Republicans nominated to serve on the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Davis was one of the few Republicans who voted earlier this year for a bipartisan 9/11-style commission to investigate the Capitol attack. Other Republicans blocked that proposal, leading to this select committee. The committee will have eight members chosen by Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the five Republicans chosen by Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Pelosi has veto power over the pick. Davis's 13th congressional district includes parts of Champaign-Urbana, Bloomington-Normal, Springfield, and Decatur. Still to come, we'll hear from the authors of a new book about how to create a slice of prairie in your backyard. Their conversation with Tim Shelley is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It does not take a tremendous amount of land to restore a slice of native Illinois prairie, but it does require a lot of patience to reap the rewards. Tim Shelley speaks with Fred Delcomen and Jamie Ellis, co-authors of the new book, A Backyard Prairie.
My wife and I bought 5 acres just outside of Urbana about 20 years ago now. Doesn't seem that long, does it, Jamie? And half of it was wooded and half of it was being farmed. which was actually out our front door, not our back door, but nevertheless. And we thought early on that it didn't really appeal to us much to walk out the front door and see a field of corn or soybeans. There was a little bit of a garden, but otherwise it was sort of right up to our house. So I knew a little bit about natural areas, not very much. So we talked about it and thought, well, it'd be kind of cool to have a prairie out there. So we decided that's what we were going to do. And one of the components of a good, healthy prairie is periodic fire. And I thought, I'm not going to set a match to this out here without knowing what I'm doing. I mean, there are lots of things I'll delve into without knowing what I'm doing much about, but not that. So I did some research online, and I ran across Grand Prairie Friends. And Jamie and I are now both members. Jamie's been a member for a lot longer than I. He was president at the time. And I reached out to them, and I said, we're putting in this prairie, and we'd like to get it burned periodically. Can you help us with that? They did, and they have been doing that since then.
Fred was hesitant to set a match to his prairie, but I wasn't. So I was able to, you know, help with that, the successful execution of fire management on the few acres of prairie and Fred planted in his yard.
Tell me a little bit about, I mean, how do you actually plant a prairie, I guess, in your yard?
If you just let a field or a yard go fallow, prairie won't spring back. And so it has to be, you know, deliberately planned, you know, goals set of saying, oh, I want to see these wildflowers, or I want to benefit, you know, this wildlife, or I want biodiversity. You know, in small areas in a yard, maybe somebody could turn to a group like Grand Prairie Friends that sells native plants, or some other native vendor, and actually buy seedlings. But, you know, that's at put in plugs and plants, you know, but that's at a fairly, you know, small scale. If you know, you have hundreds or maybe even a couple thousand square feet. But if you're starting to get into acres, that's where you need to, you know, to look at planting seeds.
Well, I wasn't going to buy 200 different types of seeds because it gets to be pretty expensive. So you have to make a choice early on. We had 25 flowering plants and three different kinds of grasses. So it was a very small sample. And we picked them using a couple of criteria. First of all, we wanted to get some plants that bloomed at different times of the year. There are several companies now that offer seeds for prairie plants. They have them pre-packaged. So if you've only got a couple of hundred square feet, as Jamie said, it's much simpler to go to one of these companies and say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. They've already selected the seeds for you, and what they send you is a mix, which makes things a lot simpler for somebody who's got a very small area and they don't want to learn everything they can about prairie in order to make a decision about a dozen plants or so.
And Fred, I guess, just how would you describe the final result?
It's like the difference between walking through a field of corn and soybeans, or walking in something that gives you a feeling of a natural wild area. I mean, there's just no comparison.
That was Tim Shelley speaking with authors Fred Del Coman and Jamie Ellis. Their book, A Backyard Prairie, is out now from Southern Illinois University Press. Del Coman is a professor emeritus of entomology at the University of Illinois, and Ellis is a botanist with the Illinois Natural History Survey. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies for today with a high of 84 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Sean Crawford, Jim Meadows, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.